Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Right Now Weekly Radio Show, hosted by Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Publishing, home of best-selling books, award-winning magazines, global broadcasts and communities. Right Now is a highly educational, inspiring, and empowering show focused on writing, publishing, and marketing your books, featuring outstanding guests from across the globe, including best-selling authors, world stage speakers, thought leaders, and visionaries with proven strategies, secret formulas, and treasured resources to help you succeed and make an impact. Welcome, sit back, and enjoy the show. And now your host, Vicki Winterton.
Hi, this is Vicki Winterton, and I'm thrilled to bring you speaker highlights from our annual IPPI Awards and a peek at what you can expect this year from Morgana Ray, International Wealth Coach.
Who would like to make money fall in love with you? So what I'm going to be teaching you in our little bit of time together is how to make more money by putting love first. Anything that is out of integrity, out of your value system, out of your joy does not fit. And before I dive into that, just a word on the power of books, because that's what we're talking about here. Is anybody here a service provider or a teacher or a healer of any kind? Our energetic limit for how many people we can serve one-on-one is really, really low, especially if we are not charging enough. And that's another conversation. But what I found, and the reason I created my first book, was I think 2007 I had over 300 clients and I was burnt out and swore I would never do that again. And I created a book as a way to serve and assuage my own guilt for all the people that I did not want to coach anymore. And there are benefits to that. You get to be a good person. If somebody is not ready to invest in you at the level you want to be invested in, you have something else they can do. And yesterday I received an email from a private client named Pam, who hired me after working with my book 2 years in a row, because I created a workbook to use every year. I wanted, for me, something interactive, more than just reading, but, you know, a doing. And when she first contacted me before hiring me, she wrote to me that she had already had her first $250,000 in sales month just using the workbook, which told me, great, my stuff works on her. So I didn't need somebody who was in crisis and try to milk money out of somebody who didn't have it. I was able to serve before she came to me. And what I'm going to be teaching you is the exercise that she used herself before she ever hired me. And my intention for this beautiful group is when I'm done, you will never look at money the same way again. So my core philosophy in life, and this is more than just money, but it has everything to do with money, is when you are doing everything right, everything you're supposed to do, everything you're capable of doing, and you are not seeing results, there is always a very, very good reason. You are not a failure. You're not a loser. You are, in fact, very successfully protecting yourself from what you think you want. And there are always very good reasons. You are not a fool. I have trouble understanding the idea of self-sabotage from a logical point of view. Why would you? I don't believe we sabotage ourselves. I believe that our unconscious picks up certain ideas about what is safe and what isn't safe. And if something isn't safe, the brakes are on. And no matter what you do, your experience will be like driving with the brakes on. So would you like to learn how to take your foot off the brakes in money and love? Okay, great. I'm going to teach you my 6 steps of financial alchemy. Alchemy, my own personal working definition of alchemy, is the transmutation of lead, as in lead in human experience, into spiritual and material gold. Which means that the person here who is in the most pain and anxiety, and maybe you want to add shame and fear and grief and all that, you win because you have the most material to turn into gold. And so the law of attraction police are not going to be here. You are not going to be punished for having low vibrations and negative thoughts. In fact, they are going to be infinitely useful for the beginning of this process. What we want to do is we want to create maximum polarity. There is no magic in neutrality, but the more polarity, the more we can go into the first step of alchemy, which goes back tens of thousands of years, classical alchemy, the first step is negredio, the blackening, the extraction, the isolation of what isn't working, so that all we're left with on the other side is what we want. Because when we have a little bit of ich and positive thinking, we just end up with a lot of mud in the middle. So to start with, we want to uncover the root cause of what you're protecting yourself from. And the secret there is the root cause of your money problems, issues, challenges, limitations is never really about money. So I have a lot of coaching friends. I've been doing this relationship with money stuff since the very beginning of 2003, and I've been coaching since 96. When I started, nobody was talking like this. I think maybe Harv Eker was talking about relationship with money, but in a very, very different way. And since then, it's become really popular, and people talk about money as energy, and money as a tool, and money as a measure of value, all of which is true and useless to me because I don't know how to have a relationship with the tool. But a person, that's real. So the root cause of your money situation is not going to be in your money story. Our money situation comes from much deeper stuff. And as painful as your money situation may be, money itself doesn't really exist. It's made up. It's a shared, agreed upon delusion. It doesn't exist in nature. We arbitrarily decide that one purse is worth $5 and another is worth $5,000, but they do the same thing, and we agree to pretend on that level of value. But what is very real and affects us in every area of our life every day are the issues that money represents deep down. And those issues are worth. What are we worth to ourselves and to others? All of our deepest issues about our worthiness, our deservingness, really soft white underbelly of being a human being stuff. And the next issue that money represents is our lovability. Our first experience of money was our parents. They fulfilled the role of money. They told us whether we were valued. They kept us safe or they didn't. They clothed us, they fed us, they housed us, or in some cases they didn't. But money takes the role later in life of who our parents were for us. So that's a place to look. I also have had clients who have had very happy childhoods and great parents, but then things happen later, teased, at school, some bad teacher, maybe some experience of abuse or predation, a broken love affair, an accident, something happened, which actually the accident leads to the third thing that money represents, which is our own safety, our own right to exist, especially for those living in the United States, where if you don't have money, you don't get health care and you don't deserve to live. It's very heavy stuff, and that's actually why money is so important and why it's so important to have a good relationship with it, because these issues really represent our relationship with ourselves and life. So the issues that go into our financial situation will also reverberate everywhere else, directly and indirectly, because what's so useful about money is money has its fingers in everything, in our spirituality, our sexuality, our romance, our environment, our life purpose, our health. There's really nothing that isn't impacted by money directly. And also those issues about how we feel about ourselves, how lovable we feel, how loved we feel, and how safe we feel in the world. is also going to be hugely impactful in our ability to make money and keep it. And by the way, sometimes people think when I'm talking about relationship with money, I'm only talking about people who don't have it. Well, actually, this is just as true for people who have vast amounts of money. Because more money, more problems. Has anybody ever heard that before? Yeah. So if you have fear of wealth, you're not insane. And what you want to do is you want to have a great relationship with money wherever you are, because that increases your capacity to have more without fear of losing it, and having better relationships with other human beings. So you become less of a target because you have healthy, loving boundaries. A client of mine who went with me to Bali for my Money Goddess retreat in 2013, funny thing, I was speaking at her event in Sun Valley, Idaho. And I didn't get why she left LA for Idaho until I went to Sun Valley, and it's like, oh my God. But what I didn't realize when she asked me to speak at the Sun Valley Wellness Festival, and she's on the stage in front of hundreds of people sharing what happened after she went with me to Bali, she made over $12 million. And she never told me that. And it all had to do with learning to love herself and value herself and not be ashamed to ask for what she wanted and not being afraid to fight for what she wanted for herself and her family. So I started with step number one, which is uncover the root cause. And the way you do that is you look at your life and anything that ever made you feel unloved, unsafe, or unworthy, anything you have any shame about, any regret, and it may be very present and close to you now, or it may be in your past. It may actually be something that you thought you had healed. And by the way, that's great. And if you can still use it, you still get to use it. I don't think healing things makes them go away. You will always have enough of a charge if it will use you. You don't want to, if you went through something really horrible, you don't want to lose the utility. Make it useful. Milk it for all it's worth for the rest of your life whenever you need to. So that's step number one. Sometimes I'll say to a client, what are the negative things you've seen, heard, or experienced about money to start with? And the sooner we can get off the stuff that is directly about money, maybe going into the eating disorder or childhood sexual abuse or the car accident, whatever it is, that is where we just want to find where is the most energy and the most pain, the most what's not right with the world. And then when you have enough pain and you can feel it, because by the way, this is not an intellectual exercise. When you feel it, then you make it a person. You make the root cause the monster. And often I tell my own story. I didn't intuitively feel that this time, but would you like to hear my story and how it worked out for me? Okay. So back in 2002, I'd already been a coach for about 6 years. I had all these movie star clients, directors, producers. They were winning awards, getting primetime TV hits. First time director sold his film for $500,000. And I was struggling to make $100 a month living in Los Angeles, one of the most expensive cities in the world. So I had this like horrible, heavy, shameful secret. And it was so unfair because I was seeing people. This is when I learned that I can feel superior and inferior simultaneously, because I was judging myself as better than other coaches who are making a lot more money. Nobody else has done that, right? And I hit my bottom. You know, like program has its bottom. I hit my entrepreneurial bottom, where after I had just invested in yet another class, like I kept getting more certifications, taking more business classes, and I had the website and the brochure and the business cards and the taglines, and I had the celebrity clients and I had the testimonials, and I'm making $100 a month. And I took a class in overcoming sales objections, and I'm a good student. I aced that. 7 people in a row said they would hire me. 0 showed up and 0 paid. And that was when I was ready to leave the planet. I had run out of hope. And none of my teachers and none of my coaches could figure out what was going on, because I was such a good client and so bad at getting paid. And I remember this moment of being in my bedroom and just like dragging shut the drapes, blacking out the room, getting on my bed and just screaming screaming and crying in despair, and I felt hated by the universe, and I hated the universe back, and I didn't know what to do. And I just cried. And when I cried myself out, I had the thought that money needed to be my next area of spiritual growth. Maybe because I'm from California and spirituality comes easy. And the other piece was, I got curious about what was going on inside of me that couldn't be with money because it didn't make sense. I had done everything I'd been told my whole life, including going to an Ivy League college. I was promised I was going to make money, and nothing I did was a match for my superhuman powers to push it away. And I wanted to know why I was doing it. And something weird happened about 2 days later. I was on the call with my coach. I'm making no money, but I still have a coach, and I'm still taking classes and all that kind of, that's, thank God. My coach had a weird and inspired moment because he had been working with me for months and he didn't know what was wrong either. And out of the blue, he asked, Morgana, if your money was a person, who would your money be? And whoa, I saw my money instantaneously. He was like this big, scary, dirty, violent biker who caused fights and terrified me. No insult to bikers, it was that one. And I could imagine being at a live event with him and having my eye on him the whole time to create maximum distance. And in that moment, I realized what I'd been doing unconsciously. Making money a person takes the unconscious, the invisible, and makes it visible. I didn't know that I felt money was dirty or dangerous until it was a guy. And I knew there was no way I was going to have money in my life if it was that guy. He had to go. And fortunately, being a human being, I have experience ending relationships with other human beings. And that becomes very useful. So I got rid of the biker. Yay! And created a new problem. I had just rejected money, and I live in Los Angeles. So I thought to myself, well, who could I want in my life so much that I'd be willing to have that person in my life even if he was money? Because if you've ever been in a really bad relationship, you're kind of gun-shy, and you don't want to do that again. So I asked myself, who would I want so much? And instantly, in my overactive imagination, I saw this tall, dark, handsome young man, clean cut, wearing a tuxedo, carrying a bouquet of red flowers and wanting to woo me. And that is weird. I had never thought about money that way. Wanted to be with me, was in love with me, and was so sweet, and was so hurt by all the years and all the ways that I had rejected him. And I didn't want to be a jerk. By the way, that's huge. I didn't want to be a jerk to him. I didn't want to hurt his feelings. So I used my superpowers of codependency to make him happy. And I asked him what he needed from me. By the way, this is huge. We have the body, so the power is in us. I'm not teaching you to invent some cute money fairy who's going to go out and do your life for you while you sit on the couch. That's not my thing. Your money partner, lover, ally exists because he or she loves you and sees you for who you really are and champions you to be your best self, because that's what lovers do. There's no scarcity here. When I talk about loving money, I am not talking about greed or coveting or jealousy or cheating or stealing, because that exploiting, harming is never love. Love is love. Love is generous. Love is noble. Love brings out our best. And that's the kind of relationship I'm talking about. Finally, so my money honey and I were having this conversation about all the times he had brought me clients who I had talked out of hiring without a clue that I was doing it. Until now, when I would look and I would find how uncomfortable I was stating my fee, how I'd hide behind sample sessions because giving and healing was so much easier than accepting money, because money was a monster back then. So we made a deal that next time he sent me a client, I would say thank you because it was a gift of love. The next day, four people hired me at double what I'd ever charged before. And to be frankly honest, it was one of the most uncomfortable experiences of my life to just shut the heck up and let them hire me because I built such a strong neurological pattern of somehow weaseling out of the sale. And now, so I've gone from making, you know, this history of making $100 a month to having $100,000 months and traveling the world, getting married 100 times in 100 countries with that very handsome guy. So let me walk you through the steps of my story so that you can do it for yourself. Number one, uncover the root cause. It's never about money. It's about your own worth, lovability, and safety in this world. When I talk about relationship with money, I'm really talking about relationship with life, but I call it money. I pretend it's money because money is that area of life that needs my love and healing a lot. Number two, when you've dug up enough of whatever you have that energy around, then you pretend that there's this imaginary all bad person who's been pulling the strings and is responsible for all of it, responsible for all the worst things anybody has done to you. And the worst thing you've ever said to yourself is not coming from you, it's coming from the monster. And the person with the biggest, baddest monster wins because the bigger and badder the monster is, the bigger and more real and more lasting and more wonderful the opposite will be. The money honey will always be stronger than the monster. So you want to get the biggest, baddest monster you can because it creates leverage like a slingshot. It creates this tension that makes the opposite inevitable. You want the monster to be intolerable. Step number three, can you guess what step number three is? Get rid of the monster by any means necessary, the bloodier the better, which is really weird because all of my clients are like healing vegan light workers. It's imaginary. There's tremendous power in taking out that warrior energy and saying enough, death to whatever does not serve. Yes, off with your head, the monster's head. Then you create a vacuum, a space for all that's left, and all that's left is only good, only love. And then you give that form in the gender of your choice. And then now you've got a person. Money is a person. And I found that the lover archetype works best just from a dollars and cents or euro or rupiah or whatever. There was a time early on when I first started trying this out on other people, and people had money honeys that were dogs and cats. Dogs and cats know zip about money, and there's a real limit to the intimacy that you can have with them. So there's something about lovers that are equals, and there's a vulnerability. You can break your money honey's heart because the power is really with you. So step number five is having a conversation with your money honey. And then step number six is action. Positive vibes are awesome. But if you want to have real, tangible, physical results, there's nothing more empowering than taking real, concrete, physical action, measurable, that you can say, yes, you did. Because your money honey, when you ask him what he needs or what she needs from you, your money honey will say things like love yourself or love me or trust me or something like that. Very healthy, wonderful Yoda-like. And I, for one, have never been capable of loving myself and being nice to myself or anything for every second for my whole life. That's a goal we keep working towards. But we also want to give you a concrete win to let yourself know and your money honey know the relationship has changed so you take positive action. So that's step number one, uncover the root cause. Step number two, personify your money monster. Step number three, get rid of your money monster by any means necessary. Step number four, meet your money honey. Step number five, dialogue with your money honey. And step number six, take concrete, measurable action. I would say my final words for you is you are going to have a relationship with money for the rest of your life, really, truly, until the day you die. So you want to make it a good one. You want a relationship with money where the more loving you are and the more loved you are and the more in alignment with your values you are, the more you prosper, because that removes all the resistance. It makes it safe for you to fulfill your purpose in this world. Thank you so much.
We hope you will join us at Expert Insights IFPI Book Awards this year at one of the top resorts on the Mexican Riviera. Details on how you can secure your place are at www.mybookaward.com. There are limited spaces and discount rooms available, so visit today, www.mybookaward.com. See you next week.